You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
My favorite,
it's Judd's Hockey Show.
And with that, welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. It's Judd, it's Declan. It's a Wild loss 2-1 tonight. The goals, they keep not coming. The Wild power play now has gone on the fritz. We will talk about that. Plenty to get to in this game as the Wild falls 2-1 to the Nashville Predators in Nashville. They will now start a lengthy homestand Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Dex, here's where I want to start with this game. For Dean Evason being as upset as he clearly was after the Sharks game on Sunday when the Wild had a 2-0 lead, and this one they fell behind 2-0, but and basically saying we're not playing the way we're supposed to, we're playing to East and West. He made some line changes. I actually thought the first period was awful. Like, they outshot the Predators tonight, but I didn't think that they played well. They got caught up in a physical game that I don't know was necessarily in their best interest. I was really surprised that a team that was certainly talked to by its coach after Sunday's game, I didn't think that they had a great start. They came on then, but as you've been saying for a long time now, the five on five goals are just a struggle, and now the power plays too.
Yeah, this is just a boring hockey team. That's kind of been my take after watching this game, the last one too. It's a boring hockey team, and it's a boring hockey team that shouldn't be boring, in my opinion. It's got a superstar in Kirill Kaprizov. They're starting to get a little more healthy. You know, they lost some bodies off the top with some injuries, and of course, maybe some regression was going to be coming to key players, you know, a la Ryan Hartman or maybe Marcus Foligno, but for right now, I really just think this Wild team is not that fun to watch. And when you can't score, and when you're trying to rely on a 38-year-old goaltender who's been playing well, but I don't know if that's a formidable way for you to be successful going forward. For me, it's a boring style of hockey, and they aren't scoring a lot. It's not as fun as it was last year. They're lacking an offensive weapon. And it's clearly a problem now as they head back on a lengthy homestand, which they'll definitely need. But I would say it's a boring hockey team.
Well, yeah, and the problem is this. When you look at the lines, okay, when you look at what this team is rolling out there, and you can juggle them all you want, who scares you? Kaprizov does, but teams are now basically doing everything they can to take him away. Zuccarello tonight, I mean, he had a couple of chances, but not much. He set up the Goudreau goal, which is fine. But I mean, there's just so few guys on this team who frighten you or scare you. It's a lot of guys who work hard, or they're supposed to. They don't necessarily always do that. But yeah, I think boring is a good way to describe it. And the problem is this. I'm not sure that they're going to get out of this unless they make some type of alteration, changes, trades, or a guy like Rossi starts to pick things up. You know, Boldy has certainly struggled as well, goal-scoring-wise. So, yeah, I don't know. They need to play harder at times, but I don't know that there is a definitive solution here that is going to make this a playoff team. Like, this to me is a very borderline team.
Yeah, it's borderline.
Playoff team.
And when you're not getting the offense from your key components and guys like Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello is making 1-2 extra passes. And, you know, I know Frederick Goudreau got a rewarded with a goal tonight, and good for him. He's the only one that actually ends up getting on the score sheet. when your superstars in Boldy and Kirill aren't delivering for you, which, I mean, they've been quiet the last 5-6 games, mostly Boldy. I don't know if Kirill's now starting to do a little bit too much. You're starting to see Matt's gut get a little bit too pass happy, if you will. There's opportunities where at towards the end of the game today, on that 6-on-5, actually, in fact, where they had Fleury pulled. He had a wide open net, and for whatever reason, he's doing the long twig and he's passing over to Joel Eriksson. Like, Matt, take the shot. Take the shot. There's an entire open net in front of you. You don't have to make the extra pass there. So you start gripping your sticks a little bit too hard when you're not scoring a lot 5-on-5. And obviously, you know, the double minor penalty that they got today, or double minor power play, I should say, that they got today, this is the prime example. Like, their power play has been mostly really, really good this season, and that's great. And when a team like that gets a 4-minute major or a 4-minute double minor, and they have 4 minutes of power play time, it's going to usually rely on a successful opportunity for them. But when you're not scoring 5-on-5 and you're crutched to the power play and then you don't score, that's a monumental miss for them. So, yeah, if this offense doesn't wake up, and to your point, I don't know if it's anything internally that's just going to magically click and then all of a sudden they start scoring like the way they do, unless there's an external option that's brought in here, which, I mean, if you're Bill Guerin, I don't think you're rushing to do that necessarily yet, but I definitely think Dean Evason, coaching staff's probably scratching their heads a little bit, because I do think this is a well-coached team. You know, I don't think that this is a poorly coached team. I think this is an execution problem, and it's a little bit of regression too, but they can't score right now. They literally cannot score more than 1 or 2 goals for the last few weeks.
Power play now, since going 2-for-6 in the 4-1 win against the Ducks, against the Kraken, the Sharks, and then the Preds tonight, 0-for-5 tonight, 0-for-its-last-10. So if you're not going to be scoring 5-on-5, and you're not going to be scoring on the power play, you're pretty much screwed. Let's talk about the line combinations tonight. All right, so Goudreau scored, second goal in 2 games, 3 now on the year. I'm absolutely amazed that they have not tried to do something there, though, with Zuccarello and Kaprizov, because those are your two most important offensive players. And we just continue to Dean throws that line out there like, oh man, they're going to be fine, and they're not. And I know he's threatened to break up Zuccarello and Kaprizov. I guess I'm mystified as to what he sees in Goudreau. And again, he's going to score some goals. I'm not saying he can't play. I am saying he's certainly not a high-end guy. Second line tonight was Marco Rossi put in between Foligno on the right and Boldy on the left. And the third line, and this is interesting because to me this screams demotion. Like, this is not something that Dean would do if he was satisfied at all. Eriksson Ek was dropped to the center, so he was taken off the Foligno line. Obviously, Jordan Greenway remains out. Shaw, who I really like, is on one wing. Dewar on the other wing. But putting Eriksson Ek on that line and taking him away from Foligno, I find to be pretty intriguing. And I wonder what the message is there, because, I mean, Ek is a guy who, if he's not working his ass off, there's a problem. And I can't help but reflect back to what Dean said after the Sharks game, Dex, on Sunday, and think that that was some type of message to Ek as well about what they saw in him not playing a North-South game against the Sharks at the X in the OT loss on Sunday.
Look, it's a great story when someone like Mason Shaw, who's worked his absolute arse off to get to where he is in the NHL level. I like that Bill Guerin told him, find a place to stay. You're here for good. You're not just a call-up that's going to be shuttled back and forth between here and I-35. I love that. But I think there's also some element, again, to not disrespect him, but when Mason Shaw's kind of the feel-good story and that's kind of the storyline here, something else is going on. Like, it should be Mason Shaw coming up and he's clicking with an offense that's playing very well. Instead, it's Mason Shaw coming up and outplaying players who should be regular contributors here. And, you know, it, again, has injuries played a factor? Of course they've played a factor. But when someone like Mason Shaw and these minor leaguers essentially are, or these AHL reinforcements and Adam Beckman and company are coming up, it's because of necessity, and it's because things aren't going according to plan. And I don't know if you're just going to be able to scramble some lines here and there and move a Frederick Goudreau, and to your point, moving Joel Eriksson Ek down, and all of a sudden things just start to click. It is hockey. There is some puck luck involved. I'm sure there's going to be some bounces that maybe go the Wild's way a few times here on this homestand, and we hopefully forget about what's happening towards the end of this last week of play. But you kind of start to know what team you have here when you get to Thanksgiving. And for this now, you know what, month sample size of the NHL season being started here, the Wild's MO is they are not a very deep and not a very talented offensive team. They're not a very talented offensive team. They just can't score goals. They're crippled to a power play. This is kind of a stuck-in-the-rut situation where they have to dig themselves out, and I think they have the capabilities to do so, but they got to figure it out, I think, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and so the problem is this, though. The injuries, with Fiala just gone, the injuries are a BSN crutch at times, but when you really look at those, okay, Ryan Hartman, you know, you talk about regression. He's the poster child. So this whole thing, I heard, I think it was Lapanta said tonight, well, between Fiala being gone and Hartman, that's like 70 goals. Okay. Nobody in their right mind thought Ryan Hartman was going to score 30 goals or something close again. Maybe 20. But I mean, he is the poster child for he's not going to do that again. And Dean made that abundantly clear by demoting him to the third line wing. Like Dean had, you know, keep in mind, Ryan Hartman was no longer on the first line center when he got hurt. The second thing is Greenway has always been up and down. And it's not like, oh my God, if Greenway was playing now, would the grief line be complete and possibly more competitive? Absolutely. Would they be score? You know, would Greenway be scoring a ton of goals? Absolutely not. And the other thing is, you know, Jordan goes through these stretches where he is fantastic and he looks like, oh my God, it's all coming together. And then he'll go through 2 weeks where he won't score. So the injuries, yes, they deplete you for sure. There's no question about that. Do they really deplete your scoring a ton? No, they don't, because Fiala's gone. So yeah. And I just, again, the first period tonight, I really hated it. I really didn't like it. Now, the thing about the Predators, they've got some talent, but keep in mind, they aren't playing or have not got off to a good start themselves. And I felt in the second period, puck possession time certainly went and swung heavily into the Wild's favor. And then in the third period, the Predators basically played prevent defense, which I absolutely abhor. It became a boring game, and they basically dared the Wild to try and score. But I just, you know, I go back to these scores, these 1-0, 2-1. Since the second game of the season, when the Wild lost to the Kings in the game that Fleury got lifted after one period, 7-6, the Wild has not scored more than 4 goals in any game. And so between that and between, like, the first period tonight, which I couldn't stand, I don't know where to land. I mean, there's a lot of season left. Thanksgiving is like a big time benchmark of your playoff potential. And the more I watch this team, it just feels like, and I'm not even trying to imply that I don't like this team. I don't think it's a bunch of louts. I don't think it's that talented of team. And I think that there are some guys that don't understand what the workload on them is going to have to be to actually score goals. And I also think there's probably guys playing who just can't score goals.
I don't believe that this is a bad team. I go back to kind of my main point off the top, that it's a boring team. And in the preseason, you know, a lot of the analytics were very, very bullish on this team, that basically said, no, this will again be the second best team in the Central. The Avs are here and the Wild are, you know, a step below, but they should be near the top of the Central Division. And there was a lot of discussion, I think, from the analytics community, people who follow the Wild, and then maybe the outsiders of who only see the Wild from the 30,000-foot view. And I agreed with this take that, hey, this is a deep team. This is a deep team. Like, there is depth here. And even with some of the guys that are playing from AHL, a little bit out of necessity, this is a deep team. It's a deep organization. No one's denying that. But it's lacking high-end skill players. It's got Kirill Kaprizov and has Matt Boldy. And when those two players aren't playing up to their full potential, they're just kind of a team, right?
Like, and Zuccarello too.
Yeah.
Matt's not right now.
Right. But my point is guys like Kirill and guys like Boldy can take over the games. Like, Matt's is for sure a 1A facilitator, but Matt's isn't going to take over the game. And if those two guys in Kirill and Boldy, and by the way, you lost Kevin Fiala, which we all saw coming, and I don't have buyer's remorse necessarily of giving up on Kevin Fiala. You knew he was going to walk, so I understood why you traded him. But depth is one thing. High-end talent, though, is another. And when their high-end talent is performing, it kind of reminds me of a pitching staff. And mostly, if I can just compare it to the Twins, where you have a lot of good guys that are, you got six, seven guys who are solid three starters, right? None of them are aces. None of them on the top half scare you. You got depth. For sure you got depth. You got guys that can make starts. You got guys that can take that ball every fifth day that aren't just in your five-man rotation. But you don't have enough guys on the top end that scare other teams and can control the game and take things over. And when guys like Kirill and Boldy aren't doing that, well, then this team looks very mediocre at best. And that's, I think, what we've been seeing over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they definitely don't. They don't look like a playoff team in that case. And the other thing, too, that scares me tonight, maybe among everything that we could take away from this game, what would frighten me is this. One of the top scoring chances of the entire night came from John Merrill. When John Merrill is driving the net and has one of your best, and look, he ain't going to finish, okay? But the fact is, he had one of your best scoring chances. That is a problem. That is not good. And you know what, too? It is remarkable how little Matt Dumba gives you now. I'm stuck on that. Because I was such an apologist of his for so long, but I just watch him now, and I know he did score the goal against the Ducks from out front, and I like the fact that there were times it felt like, especially in the third period tonight, where the Wild did activate their defenseman again, which I also like. But he just doesn't. He gives you. He is consistently a minus, and I don't mean plus minus, but I mean as a player. He is consistent a minus player. Mm-hmm.
What Bill asked away there with Dumba, who's a very integral in the room. He's got an A on his sweater. Bill Guerin knows what it takes from a leadership standpoint and knows how important sometimes leadership qualities can sometimes overtake and make up for lack of play on the ice. What Bill has to probably weigh in here is, do I want to commit to Matt Dumba again? And that's where I've said, I think we're watching the end of this. Like this is... It's remarkable how many games he's played. He's been here for, you know, he was drafted 10 years ago, and he's had a great career with the Wild. But if you're Bill Guerin, there comes a point then where that leadership and that price tag and that expectation can only get so far low before the leadership qualities that you like in him, it doesn't matter. It becomes erased because of everything else on the ice that he is doing that's becoming, to your point, a minus. It's not a plus minus. It's a minus. He's a negative right now to this wild team when they're on the ice. And I think that's gonna be that's the tough part that Bill probably really hasn't faced yet. To me, Bill's been aggressive at making trades. He's not afraid to hurt people's feelings. I feel like hurting someone's feelings like Dumba or Foligno, again, just to take the human side from it from Bill, is probably gonna be a little more difficult than it was when you moved on from other players like Kevin Fiala, etc. Because that one, I think, is going to be a little bit tougher pill for him to swallow.
And I think that Foligno is safe for sure. But if you can move, like if anyone will take Dumba and the remainder of this contract as a rental, you have to. And look, right now, with the way that this team is playing, and yes, they are going to go on streaks again. Like they're going to win some games. Exactly. I'm not trying to say that they're not. But with what we're seeing right now, if things don't change drastically, I would sell. I would sell. If this is a borderline playoff team, I ain't going into the playoffs. It's a first round and out team unless you get extremely fortunate. But you know what? We've basically learned that the Wild in the playoffs in the last X amount of years, basically dating to 2012, is not a fortunate team. So
I would say that if this is the ceiling of this team, if this is the peak of this team, like we go back to identity, right? If this is the identity of what we're seeing over the last 2 weeks, then that barometer, you know, of buyers, sellers at the trade deadline, if this is the ceiling, it starts slipping to selling. Now, the trade deadline's months away. It's actually even later, I think, than it's ever been. Right. It's in March. We're still eons away from that. And look, Judd's Hockey Show is not going to be the hockey show where we start giving you a weekly NHL sell and trading update from that side. We love to recklessly speculate. We love to talk about ideas that could come to fruition that are fun to help the team. But if this is the ceiling, that is an interesting avenue for Bill Guerin to have to potentially take. because, you know, they have cap issues. They moved on from some draft picks, but you certainly could load up on more when you're so capped against the salary cap. But I just think, in general, we're going to have to see a lot more before we get there. But if this is the ceiling, like if this is the identity of this team, that it's a middling team that can't score with decent goaltending, you may as well probably sell by the time that trade deadline rolls around in March.
Hartman and Greenway aren't going to change that. That's my feeling. Like, again, they're going to go through stretches where they do get hot as a team. But like you're not sitting on the powder keg of a scorer coming back. Oh my God. You know, you just wait, till Ryan Hartman's back to what, yeah, muck things up. So like, I just look, the reality is this, the defensemen aren't great. Like there's a couple good ones, but the defensive core, that's more fair. The defensive core isn't great. The forwards lack, as you put it, high end quality depth. Now, when the Gophers season comes to an end and Brock Faber can join your team, are you going to play him? Could he help? Absolutely. Sure. Is he going to save your season? Absolutely not. That's not even fair. So, yeah, I just watching this team and like getting a feel for it. And I heard it again tonight on the BSN telecast, the identity, your identity is you're going to have to work your ass off. And that might not be good enough. That's the other thing, too, because we're talking about a lot of worker bees. I just hope at some point here that they give Rossi a chance with Kaprizov, because I hate seeing Kirill basically play with nobody. Zuccarello's scuffling now, and I mean, Goudreau, God bless him, is not the guy. Get him some talent to play with. Declan, I think you froze. That is a heck of a shot. I have no idea if this is still operating, but you are frozen right now, which is very fitting.
Yeah, no, I think we're having, we're very fitting for this fight. This is a 5-on-5 right now on Score North and Jets Hockey.
Yes, exactly.
Show,
so right.
We'll put this one on a wrap. So hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment on Score North. We hit the buzzer here. We're not going to try to get any more through this. So hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. This is Score North and Jets Hockey Show. We'll be back later this week.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla from the Adam Carolla Show. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer to esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. And don't forget, Bet Online for NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf as well. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more. That is Bet Online. Bet Online, where the game starts.